turn with me this morning back to the book of Ezekiel, the 41st chapter. I guess we'll begin about verse 22. It said, the altar of wood was 3 cubits high, and the length thereof 2 cubits, and the corners thereof, and the length thereof, and the walls thereof were of wood. And she said unto me, this is a table that is before the Lord. I looked at this table, examined that a little, and this is not our main subject this morning, but I find it kind of curious that this is a wood table. He doesn't say anything about anything else, just wood. The one that they built in Exodus 30th chapter, it's wood, but it's overlaid with gold. It's all covered. No covering here, evidently. I think, though, it speaks of a different time. There's probably no longer burning of incense upon the table, but rather, the worship is of the lips and the heart of man rather than the burning of the incense. So be that just sad. And the temple and the sanctuary had 2 doors. And the doors had 2 leaves apiece, 2 turning leaves, 2 leaves for the one door, 2 leaves for the other door. And there were made on them on the doors of the temple cherubim and palm trees, like as were upon the walls. And there were thick planks upon the face of the porch without. And then we come to the narrow windows, which we read before. But I wondered about these doors some time back, thinking on this, and this is, I think, is the first bifold door. And they can be partly open, partly closed, or all the way closed. And that's kind of what we're thinking this morning. Paul just mentioned the time we live in. It seemed like the door is partly closed. Lord's not saving people like he was in earlier years, seemed like. And not only that, but the people in general are getting more vile every day. Seemed like it's increasing day by day, getting worse and worse. Sometimes it even seemed like the doors are absolutely closed. There's a door set before the Lord's people that is open. Behind that door was a veil, and it was rent from top to bottom. And that veil was Jesus Christ himself, and man, if he be the Lord's people, he enter in through that door or that veil. All right. Through the door and veil, if you would. Same thing. Back in the book of Genesis, 3rd chapter, there's always been a... I think this may be where I first begin to understand some of the things of the sovereignty of God. The 22nd verse, and it said, and the Lord God said, behold, a man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. He didn't say what he is going to do with that knowledge, but he's given some knowledge of good and evil. I've set before you both cursings and blessings. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. I think this is always memorial unto him. look what you come from there. From this old ground. Up at my place, this old blue clay. It's even worse than most ground. So he drove out the man and he placed it to east of the Garden of Eden cherubim. And a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And the door at this point is shut. There's been a great separation here between God and man. Man no longer can come before God in his natural state. You want to talk about nature? This is it. He was natural man now, completely void of all godliness and righteousness, and shut out. No going back. No going in. At this point, there isn't any going in. Until the Lord made sacrifice for him and covered him, give a covering, covered his nakedness. He is outside of the way and can't get back in until the Lord would make the pavement where he could travel over it again. He can't get back in it. In the book of Ezekiel, again, the 28th chapter. Yeah. In verse 14, said, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so." It wasn't by any accident, you understand. "Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." I think this is either talking about the devil himself or the people themselves. Both. Generally speaking, both. "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity." And as the very moment that man knew both good and evil, iniquity had come in. And the door was shut. And that's the way it was here. When iniquity come in, the door was shut. Matter of fact, if you read very carefully, and it takes a good bit of diligence, I tell you, there's some other boards that I believe was there to put on the door to keep it shut. You ever seen an old barn door and you got a board across it from the door? That's a picture I get of this bifold door place or two. It's sealed up. "But by thy multitude of thy merchandise, Now, this is going to look pretty much like us today. Our merchandise they have filled, and they said they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore will I cast thee as profane. Gonna shut the door. If the Lord shuts it, it can't be opened either. The Lord said he's not going to strive with man always. Gonna shut the door. I will therefore cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. It has made you mad. The other places called them like drunken. Staggering around by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. It's not just iniquity, it's iniquities.
Yeah.
And it produces more. Every time of this kind, it'd be some more of it. And thy traffic. Boy, we're busy nowadays. All my life, it's been getting busier and busier and busier until, you know, the speed of light's got to where it isn't too great anymore. Man, my 80-something years has just flew by in a just kind of a glimpse of it. And it's all been involved in trafficking. Yeah. Got to get some more.
What's it all about?
Yeah, get some more of it. The iniquity is talking about. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And all they know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. That's the end of it, and the door shut. Never any more. When these things take place, it never anymore. The door is shut. And as Isaiah, the 29th chapter. Verse 9 says, stay yourselves and wonder. Isn't that kind of what we kind of do that, don't we?
Yeah, I do.
Cry ye out and cry. They're drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, and the prophets and your rulers and the seers hath he covered. Kind of sound like our day we're just talking about. The door is just barely cracked open. And the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book. Oh, we got books. Books after books after books. But it's come like a book at sea. You got the book. We got it. It's right here. But it says unto you words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this. I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed. Well, it doesn't matter if it was sealed or not. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this. I pray thee. And he said, I'm not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. Why? Because the book is sealed. I don't care if man did no good and evil. He's not going to figure these things out. It's impossible. You cannot see it through the eye of the flesh. These things are sealed. You can read all the commentary you want, but it won't open it up until you see it. Matter of fact, most of what I've seen, you better watch out for it. It'll lead you the wrong way. It'll even seal it better. Well, that's what the problem is. They don't. I go to some of them, they just recite what I can read right here in this book. So, I think most often that, shoot, this is a waste of time here, messing with these people. You need to go on and read something for yourself. See if it will come unsealed. See if the door will be open. In the book of Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, verse 26, he said, O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth and wallow thyself in ashes, make thee mourning. Picture here is telling them, you better repent. That's what sackcloth and ashes in. You need to get down to the very earth from where you come. Make thee mourning as for an only son, whose bitter lamentation for the spoiler has suddenly come upon us. This is the only son a man had. That's how bitter this thing is. And it suddenly come upon us. No, we just figured that out by reading this. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know their way. What he's telling him, you need to tell them what you're seeing. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. There is brass and iron. They're all corruptors. Boy, not only corruptors, but they are so hard. It's like brass and iron. The bellus or burn. The lead is consumed of the fire, and the founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. It's been heated and reheated and reheated. You know what come up? Just dross. No good substance here. And then in verse 30, this is where the door is sealed. Reprobate silver. It's just of no value. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Become reprobate. The Lord has refined it and refined it and refined it over and over and over and visited the people, and they've become worse and worse. Just dross. All us old plumbers worked with that lead all them years. We always skim in the pot. Get rid of the dross off of it. So what we're putting in there is pure. Don't have any contaminants in it. Pure stuff. But here is going to be known as reprobate silver. Just trash. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 8, he said, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses," going pretty far back, "so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Now, you can underline that. It's a very important part. Concerning the faith. I turned my radio on coming down here this morning for this few minutes, and I thought it's better to be quiet. This fellow was talking about implementing your faith. Over and over, that's what. Finally, I just said, that's all of that. Good enough. That's what it's talking about here. Reprobate concerning the faith. They absolutely do not have any idea anymore where faith comes from. They are reprobate. But in verse 9, they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. We still see it. The folly of it. Refining didn't do anything. 3rd chapter, book of Revelation. Verse 7, the letter to the Philadelphia said, "Write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." That's the only good part about this whole thing. The Lord opened the door, and he left it open. and the veil was rent from top to bottom. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, hast not denied my name. He didn't pump him up here, did he? You just got a little strength. Take heed. Take heed. Because things are getting worse and worse. And that's what we're told. That they're going to wax worse and worse. Take heed. What? To thyself. Judge thyself that thou be not judged.
And you think about the Church of the Laodiceans, right? I would that thou wert either cold or hot, but because thou art lukewarm, boy, I tell you what, there's an abundance of that. Think about the prophecy in the Psalms. He said, "The zeal of thy house hath eaten me up." And then that said of Christ, said that is Christ actually in the New Testament, and he drove the money changers out. But where is the zeal today? I go back to Vance Havner, says the times are desperate, but the saints are not. And sometimes I wonder, I kind of have to check myself occasionally to see, am I growing cold? In the 24th chapter of Matthew, in the Olivet Discourse, he warned us about that. That because love of many shall grow cold. So it's amazing. And that trafficking that JT's talking about, that's what's making us or tempting us to grow cold. Because we're too busy doing those things instead of what we ought to be doing. And I tell you, these things are serious. And Christ is worthy to be worshipped with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our might, and yet it seems like we're hard pressed to do so. And then at the same time, I wonder how it was between what we call the Old Testament and the New Testament, that 400 years when God was silent. Yeah. But God is being silent now to a great degree. And he said that, the time will come when there'll be a famine.
Yeah.
Not of bread, but of the hearing of the word. He said they'll run to and fro and sea to sea to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. If the world had any inkling whatsoever of what's around the corner, it would be scared plumb slap death. In fact, they would be like those Ninevites. When Jonah went down there, and you know, there again, we're supposed to preach the gospel nice, you know, and all that stuff, you know. We just be careful, nice, and don't get into anything negative or all that kind of stuff. But what was Job's message? He didn't go down there and say, "If you'll repent," did he? Did he say anything about him repenting? Did he have a nice message for him? No. Didn't have any of that, did he? 40 days. And God's going to destroy this city. Maybe that would do some good. I don't know, would it? I tell you what, people are so hardened to this day and time until it doesn't seem like anything phases them. And if we go over to the 16th chapter of the Revelation, what do we find? Two different places there in the pouring out of the vials. They're going to shake their fist at God and blaspheme Him. Instead of repenting, that's what they're going to do. These are perilous times.